Welcome to Chat With Us,
the show that talks about all things health, wellness, life, and business.
I'm Rachel Dillon.
And I'm Emma Dillon.
And this is Chat With Us. Today, I am sitting down with two of our Move With Us coaches, Liv and Annabelle. We find out more about how they train, their nutrition, recovery, pushing yourself, and so much more. Welcome to Liv and Annabelle. It has been a while. Thank you for coming back on the podcast. How are you, girls?
Good. So happy to be here.
Yeah, so happy to be back. It's been like ages now. So
I know, but yours would have been ages.
Yeah, like probably over 12 months ago. So,
oh my God.
It's crazy how fast time's flying.
It is. And I feel like it only keeps getting faster.
I know. Mm.
All right. I wanted to start this episode with something a little bit fun. I want you to tell us something that nobody knows about. Well, maybe not nobody. Something that we don't know about you, myself and the community.
I actually have four brothers. I'm just the only girl.
Really?
Yep. Older brother and then three youngers.
How did you go with growing up with four brothers?
Yeah, it was a lot. I think that's why I'm more like of a tomboy sort of. Yeah, yeah. I didn't grow up with any sisters. But yeah, that's probably mine.
Oh my God. Are they all on the Gold Coast? Oh, Brizzy?
No, three of them are still in Toowoomba. That's okay. Where I'm from, if you don't know. And then my older brother's still in Brisbane as well.
There you go. Oh, interesting. Wow. Liv,
I feel like this isn't like much of a secret, probably a lot of people know, but prior to doing like sort of fitness and social media and moving to the Gold Coast, I was an osteopathy student down in Melbourne.
Wow.
So I was studying to be an osteo, and that was sort of the path that I was planning to take before this all took off. So yeah, it was very different back then.
Isn't it so crazy where your life ends up versus like when you get out of school? Honestly, I had no idea what I wanted to be. Like my parents were so desperate for me to go to uni because they were just like, you're going to be like that wild child that like doesn't, you know, follow the path. And they're like, my dad's like, project planning? And I'm like, I don't want to be a project planner. Like, but it's hard when you finish. It's like you're meant to just know.
And you're so young as well and have like no life experience. So
I feel like we're very similar in that because I was studying chiropractic.
Yeah, well.
So you would have been an osteopath. I would have been a chiro.
And I would have been maybe a project together.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. All right. Well, give us a quick little update. Annabelle, you can go first.
Mm-hmm.
On life, all things since you were last on the podcast.
Wow. Okay. A lot has changed since then. So I was in June last year, right before we went to Bali.
Yes.
That was the first time I met you, last time I was on the podcast.
Well, we had met briefly properly.
I moved to the Gold Coast from Brisbane. I feel like that was probably the main thing.
I feel like you're thriving here too.
It's so good.
Yeah. I feel like me and Emma were actually literally talking about you on our run. I'm like, there's something about Annabelle. Like, we're like, she's just glowing here. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's the sun, the tan, the everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like in Brisbane, because I still coach as well down here, you coach in the morning in Arvo and then throughout the day in Brisbane, there's nothing to really do.
Yeah.
You go for your walk, you train, but you just sit around otherwise. Whereas here you can get out of the sun, you can go to the beach, you can actually make the most of your day. And it just, you're living rather than just waking up, working, going to bed, eating.
That city life.
What else has changed? I don't know. Program launch today? Not launched, but announced, which is.
Talk us through a little bit. Exciting. We'll get more into the program, but why the hybrid program and how did you go shooting all the assets with the team and I guess planning? I heard it was very, very hot.
Yeah, it was a long day, but it was fun. It was fun. Why the hybrid program? I guess it's just because I've fallen into that style of training at the moment and everyone has sort of loved the content I've put on about it. And I think we were saying before, everyone is running at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on, but people I never thought I'd see run have started to run.
I'm like, me. I saw this stat and I hope it's correct, but apparently at the moment more women are running in the world than men.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a,
that's crazy. It is, yeah, I feel like it is very female dominant.
Yeah. Well,
at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, that's crazy.
You're onto something. But can we talk about your mum?
Oh, she's a weapon.
Oh my God. When you're posting your mom, I was like, no wonder you're so good at running.
Yeah. Well, I feel like running for me was inevitable going into it because my dad, my mom, my brother, they all do triathlons, Ironmans, half Ironmans, half marathons. They're all, they've done that for years. Oh, and I was kind of the black sheep where I was like, no, no, I'm not running. I hate running. And then here we are.
What changed? What was that like significant moment that made you consider running?
When I started doing functional training, there was like little runs throughout the sessions. Okay. And that kind of slowly introduced me to them. And then I still remember my first 3K. I was like, oh, this sucks. This is awful. I was dying after two. And then it was very sporadic from there. But I feel like last year or the start of last year when I committed to doing a half marathon in Brisbane with my dad actually. Wow. Yeah. And then I was training with him and he kind of pushed me to do it because I had no choice but to try and keep up with him. He's a lot better than me. He took off. I stayed back. But yeah, and then slowly fell in love with it when it started to get a little bit easier. Yeah. And it only gets easier with persistence. And yeah, here we are. My mum dragging me into doing a marathon in May.
That's amazing. Yeah. And how long is it?
42 kilometers.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I find like, honestly, past 4 kilometers, I'm like, real. I find it really hard.
It's a long
hard.
Amount of time. Isn't 4 hours.
Oh my God. Running. No. Yeah.
And that's a good time as well. Mine's probably going to be longer than that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to all things running because I have some serious questions.
Okay.
But Liv, update. Yeah. We know that you've been competing. Give us a lowdown.
Yeah, things are really busy at the moment. I'm in like the peak of my race season at the moment, which is exciting and fun. I feel like my years are 90% training and pre-season, and then that little race period is like sort of that little fun part at the end of the year or the start of the year. So I'm in the middle of that now, and I've had in Jan, I had 7 races over 5 weeks. So I've been pretty much every weekend somewhere different in the country. So it's been a lot of travel and it's been busy, but it's been so much fun. And yeah, I absolutely love it.
And I love your dad. He's so cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that video.
The jump. I've never seen.
I know. That's something as well that I love about racing is that like a lot of my races are down in Melbourne where I'm from and where my family are. And like my dad was the one that got me into running. So I sort of took off and left them and was like, I want to go pursue running on the Gold Coast.
Somewhere else.
But yeah. But it's like so nice to like reunite with them back home and have them, like they're always supporting me and coming down and dad carries my starting blocks for me. And
It's
so sweet. So
sweetie. Yeah. And I did see on your story you posted a little bit about being burnt out. Can you tell us a little bit more about how did that come about? Because I'm always like, how do you girls have so much energy? Like, I get you're young, but like you're running, training, competing.
Yeah.
How? I know you do a lot to accommodate to that, but I guess I know you went through a bit of a burnout period.
Yeah.
How did that happen and what did you do?
So I think my burnout, I tend to get it this time of year, and I think obviously there's a lot of pressure like start of the year to be like super motivated and set new routines, but I sort of enter the year like pretty flat. I did quite a few races in December leading into the new year, and racing, like since sprinting you're performing at like 100%, it like literally depletes your central nervous system, which is sort of what is depleted when you're feeling really flat and burnt out. And that was just continuous on and on. And then obviously every weekend in Jan.
Yeah.
And normally for like a single race, we'll taper. So like back off our training a little bit for like a week leading up to it.
Yeah.
Then you get a few days off to rest. But when it's like every week, you obviously can't afford to not train at all. So you sort of just stay on top of your training, racing, especially if you're running like quite fast, then your body's got to try and keep up with that. And yeah, so I was pretty burnt out. And then obviously like start of the year, everyone's so busy coming back from holidays. So I sort of had to back it off a little bit at training, take some extra days off, lots of like alone time as well.
Mental
and also,
space.
Yeah. And also just not put like the pressure on myself to kick off like new goals at the start of the year.
Yeah.
I sort of did like what a lot of people do and sort of started my new year in Feb.
Yeah, I love that.
And just use Jan as like just
it's a bit of a write-off.
It's an
awkward month, I always feel.
And also the weather on the Gold Coast was so unmotivating.
Oh, it's been weird.
It was like, it felt like it was winter.
I know.
Especially New Year's Day, like I was like getting up for sunrise.
Oh, yes.
And it was just pouring.
Pouring.
And it was
the storms and stuff too.
Yeah. It was insane. So miserable. So I didn't feel bad.
I started out my year with COVID, so.
Heaps of people were getting COVID again over Chrissy. Yeah.
I got it January 1st.
Oh, my God.
So rock bottom and then only up from there.
So question. Obviously, you were both very different athletes in your own regard. Long distance running, very short distance running. But you obviously both weight train. Would you ever long distance run, Liv, and would you ever sprint, Annabelle? Or is it like just not?
Maybe I think once I've like retired from sprinting, yep. But while I'm a sprinter, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Nope.
Annabelle?
I kind of went the other way. I used to do athletics, which I did hurdles and stuff. So I always went away from long distance running. So I've kind of, I guess I wasn't at Liv's level, but I guess was a sprinter. And then now that that's done, then gone into long distance.
Yeah. Did you have fitness inspirations that motivated you to start your training, or have you guys just always been into health and fitness?
So yeah, there was like 4 or 5 girls that I've followed since I was 14, 15, yourself included. And then yeah, like Chrissy Cheller, Chantel Duncan, Kelsey Wells, Kayla.
Yeah.
All of those girls I've followed for years. Mm. And yeah, always my inspirations. And yeah, started doing Bodies Are Rachel, started doing the sweat app and stuff because I just, yeah, wanted to be like you guys. And yeah, and then just kind of progressed from there.
I feel like obviously you girls are like a bit younger than me. I feel like growing up there wasn't as many fitness inspirations, I guess you would say. Yeah. But I feel like it's such a healthy thing for young women to have, like role models, especially like yourselves who are fueling your bodies, moving in the right way. Like you preach such a healthy message, which I think I know when I have hopefully have a child myself, that I hope they grow up with those role models in their lives. Cause you look back at our parents and it's like everything was like lose weight. Mm. Everything was just focused around the wrong message. So it's so nice to, I guess, that you grew up with that and then to be that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think for me, I feel like I get asked this a lot, like who's your biggest inspiration? Same, yeah. And looking back, I can't like put it on one person. I think it was, and also growing up, like I was more so passionate about sport rather than like health and fitness. That sort of came in a little bit later. And I think what sort of inspired me like so young to do so many sports and try and be like the best athlete I could be was more so the idea of being a successful athlete. Yeah. And I'm very competitive and I feel like I got that from my parents. And it was more so I just wanted to, like growing up, obviously I wanted to be that girl that went to the Olympics and everything. So that's not so much my goal anymore. Mm. But yeah, it was more like the idea of being a successful athlete rather than being like someone who's there.
I love that.
Yeah.
What was your journey like in the beginning? Are there any funny stories or moments that you look back on now and think, like, what was I doing? I know for a fact I have many, so I'm hoping you guys have some.
I once followed this diet which cut carbs completely.
Oh my God, like keto? Where it's just like fats and protein?
Yeah, but it was so strict. It was 8 weeks and it literally said the foods you couldn't eat.
Oh.
And I thought, I was like, oh yes, this is gonna be it. And I followed it to a T. I finished it. I was like, that was terrible. I'm never doing that again.
I remember when I was probably like 16, I think that's the youngest you can sign up to a gym. So I signed up and I'd ride my bike there and I was so excited. And obviously being so young and not following any big fitness influences, I had absolutely no idea. And I remember for years I only did 2 things. It was that like horizontal leg press with the little like the pin loaded one.
Oh, yes.
So I'd do that. And like I feel like the only other people using it were people doing like rehab. But I was like, oh, that looks easy. And then I would just jog on the treadmill. And I paid this membership when I was 16, had like no money. Did that. Only those 2 things because it's all I knew how to do. And then I also remember I think once I hit 18, I saved up all my money to do one of those F45 challenges.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like like hundreds of dollars and I was so excited, but I was like so stubborn. So I spent all that money and was like, oh, I'm going to do the challenge, but just the training though. Yeah. I still want to eat my mum's cooking, which like you're kind of paying for all the meals.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Yeah, I'm not doing that though.
I won't be eating that.
No.
Oh, that's so funny. I feel like I still remember – because when I was first entering the gym, I think I was like the same, 17. Mm. And I remember I walked in and I would go straight over to the cardio equipment and do all the cardio. And then I would go and do like 3 reps on the leg press. And I was like, oh, I don't want my legs to get bulky. Like, it was like a full thing. If only our legs put on muscle that quickly now. I know. How is your sprinting season going so far, Liv? Talk us through, like, how many have you had? Is it, this might be silly, but do you have to like win a certain amount to qualify to go on, or you can just go to every single one?
So for like traditional track sprinting, it's more so like a qualification sort of thing. Yep. But for beach sprinting, it's, you can kind of do anything.
Okay.
Which is good, but it is also like self-funded. So you kind of, you got to love it to go to all those things. But I think I've had probably around like 10 races this year. I started my first one around November and now we're in like mid-Feb. So I've had quite a few, probably maybe like 3 or 4 every month. And then Jan was my biggest month. Feb, I have only one. So it's quite nice. Got a little break.
So good.
And then after this, I've got states, nationals and worlds, which is super exciting. But this season's going really well. It's definitely probably the best one I've had so far. And I feel like I did have quite a good off season. I remember like going back to training mid-April and I had a pre-season from mid-April till mid-November and like didn't miss a session, was in the gym. Every day I needed to be there in the middle of winter. I remember doing my sessions at the Bali retreat.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, I remember that.
I was like, I don't want to be doing this right now. I want to be by the pool. But it's all like paid off and it's such a good feeling that like when all your hard work and effort and time is going in the right direction.
Definitely. And I mean, I feel so inspired watching both of you at the retreat. Like Annabelle was in there like pounding a 12-kilometer run on the treadmill. Liv's like doing all her sprints. I'm like, I need to be doing more. Like what else can I be doing? It was – yeah, I love watching both of you. I think it's like so inspiring. And I think it's nice. It's so performance driven because I feel like it's just different to what I guess a lot of the world is used to seeing. A lot of the time it is very like, I want to lose weight or I want to gain muscle. Or so it's nice to see, the performance aspect coming in.
Yeah.
Okay, Annabelle, tell us. I want to pick your brain about running. But
okay.
Your marathon. When, like, you were just saying May, did you say?
Yeah, May. So 15 weeks this week. Yeah, which seems far away, but, I mean, I'm already week 3 of training. No, sorry, heading into week 4 of training.
Yeah.
So that's gone very quickly.
Okay. Talk us through, being a beginner runner myself.
Yes.
Talk us through how, I know people say persistence, but, like, how does it get easier?
Yes.
So, or does it not?
No, it definitely does. It definitely does. You can either progress 2 ways. You can either focus on the distance or time. I prefer time just because you can go as slow as you want and you don't have to worry about, say you've got a K to go, you're like, oh, I'm going to speed up just to get this done.
Yes.
Whereas if you focus on time, even if you speed up, you're still running for the same amount of time. So you might as well just go at an easy pace and just relax.
Yeah.
And I think people don't understand that you need to run slow to run fast.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this is something I'm learning as well at the moment with marathon training because I hired a coach because I just, one, I didn't want to get injured and two, I didn't really know how to structure like a full running specific training block because running is still relatively new to me. And one of the runs per week he's getting me to do is the long run on the weekend, which is low heart rate focused.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I've never focused on that before. So I have to be running so slow. It'll get better. But like, for example, I used to run like high fives and now I'm running in the 7-minute Ks. Yeah. So it's very different. But yeah, run slow to run fast because once your heart rate adapts to that, then you've built that aerobic base.
Mm-hmm.
And when your heart is efficient at pumping blood around your body, then it can get that to the muscles quicker and then they're going to be less drained and just everything will work more efficiently.
And what's your thought on running for the body? Because a lot of people are quite against like knees, joints, like what are your thoughts around
that? I think if you're having knee problems or ankles, that's where the strength training complements it.
Because
obviously it is a lot on the joints, especially when you're running on concrete, which isn't the best to run on.
Yes.
Obviously grass, even bitumen is a little bit softer because it has that bounce in it. But yeah, even something I'm including per week now is a very calf and quad focused leg session. Calves obviously just to avoid shin splints because they're not fun if you've experienced them before. And yeah, the quads to avoid that knee pain with the runner's knee and all that sort of thing.
Can we expect to see that complementary, I guess, combination in the hybrid program?
I have definitely put more running specific movements in there, like single leg and then like leg extension to focus on accessory movements. The hybrid program is definitely a strength and running based program. It's not a running specific program that has accessory strength work. Like it'll get you strong, but then also introduce you to running as well.
Got you. And is there a goal amount of time or distance that by the end of the hybrid program you can expect to run? Or
yeah, so it'll gradually build up the amount of minutes you're running per week. Mm-hmm. I did minutes just to make it accessible to everyone. Yeah. But by the end of the sixth week, I've put a 60-minute run. So the goal is, running nonstop for an hour. First week is only 30 minutes. And again, 30 minutes, I've put in there in the notes that you can start at 20, you can start at 15, whatever you like. Just aim to increase by 5 minutes each time. So if 60 minutes is just nowhere near, you can aim for 30 minutes in the last week. It's, completely customizable to you.
And my last question, I feel like there's a massive stigma, and I see some of this on social media around, you know, that you always have people who are for and against trends. Mm-hmm. Not that I think running's a trend. I think it's just getting more, it's always been popular, but I think it's getting a lot more, like, I guess, traction at the moment online. Lots of people think running is just for weight loss. Mm. And I feel like personally, the last thing I'd be doing for weight loss is running. It would be nutrition. I'd be looking at lots of other things before I went to do running as a weight loss tool. Mm-hmm. Do you feel there is this stigma around it? I know I personally run for the way it makes me feel and for how challenging it is. But what's your take on that?
I definitely remember it used to be a tool for weight loss, but I feel like now everyone's just doing it for the goal of running a certain amount of kilometers. Like, for example, the half marathon and the Gold Coast marathon, they're both completely sold out because everyone just wants to be able to run a certain distance. And which is cool that everyone's doing it for that goal aspect rather than the weight loss, which is, cool to see.
I agree. What does your nutrition look like to assist with this? Eating is a huge part of physical transformation and the ability to perform. So what does it look like for you guys? I mean, I'm always looking at Liv's food. I'm like to the team, we need both, like all trainers, I was like, we need your recipes, like your own what you eat in a day vibe.
Yeah.
Because I want it for personal reasons.
I feel like over the past like 12 months, I've found like this random passion for like nutrition and cooking. Like I used to absolutely like hate it, but now I feel like moving out of home, like I just love it. Mm. So I'm sort of like, obviously I've got to fuel myself for training, but then I'm also finding the enjoyment of cooking and trying to make like recreate all the foods that I love that still fuel my body in the right way. And sprinting is like a little bit tricky with fueling. I know there's so much information out there with fueling your body for distance running, but sprinting is so different because, for example, your marathon is 4 hours, my race is like 12 seconds. So the fueling is crazy. So different, and I don't need to have like that huge bowl of pasta the night before a race because I'm running for like a total of 20 seconds. So I'm still sort of working around it, but I think like the main thing is I've started being better with like pre-training fuel and having like sort of like things like lollies and like honey and like not as obviously not the high GI stuff rather than the low GI. And also I'm trying to stomach food like mid sessions as well because my sessions do go for quite a long time. For example, like my gym at the moment's taking me 2 hours because my rest periods are so long, but I'm actually working for about 5 minutes. So so I'm sort of still working around it, but it is like obviously so important to fuel your body. And I just hate the idea of like underfueling and wasting all my hard work in the gym and on the track by not fueling my body right. So
So I'm what have you had to so far today? It is 2:30 PM. Talk us through it.
So I woke up and I had eggs, trout, avocado on sourdough.
Trout from a can?
Like the smoked, like smoked salmon, but smoked trout. Yum. Yeah. Yum. It's a little bit cheaper, so I just had that one.
Yeah.
And then I had my bowl of overnight oats that I don't go a day without it. So that was my second breakfast.
Yeah.
And then I've had like a chicken, like nourish bowl with rice and roast veggies.
Is that when you do the pumpkin and stuff?
Yeah. That's what we had the research shoot. Love it. So, so good. And then once this is done on the way to training, I'll have a little bag of those like fun day sweets and a like hydration drink and some fruit before training and then have dinner and dessert when I get home.
Yeah.
I like to eat a lot of food.
It's good though. It's so good. And I feel like it's it's the pre-planning, right, too, that goes into it. That I know if I have food in the fridge ready, I don't miss a meal. But it's, if I don't plan my food and I'm busy and I'm running around, it's so easy to not have it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, Annabelle, talk us through yours.
I had my oats. I'm like Liv as well. I have oats every single day.
Do oats not make you guys sick at all?
No.
I'm so on and off with them. Like, they make me a bit nauseous sometimes.
There's so much like talk saying there's that it's like not good to have first thing in the morning. Yeah. And then people saying have eggs and people saying no, eggs are bad in the morning. God. So I just like
anything. Yeah. Yeah, had my oats, coffee, get a cappuccino. Because I never used to like coffee, but the cappuccino with a little bit of chocolate, I'm okay with it.
Yes.
I had protein shake and a burrito bowl from the Move Was That.
Yeah. Do you drink coffee?
No.
That's right.
Yeah. I wish I did because it's such like a social thing on the Gold Coast. Yeah. Like,
that's why I started
drinking
it for the social
pressure. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm saving so much money not like having it. But yeah, I'm like a big pre-workout girl. I still get a lot of caffeine in, but it's probably not the best way to do it, but
I feel like when I was younger I was a big pre-workout girl and now I rarely have it. I might that's have good. Like an amino like / caffeine drink, but that's,
they're good and they're gentle.
Have you had those ones?
They're good.
Really low, like not really low, but they're lower in caffeine, but I like them because they're just cold, ready to go. You have to mix it up or anything.
Yeah.
I'm all about convenience. Yeah. Liv, how does your lifting / weights training help with your current sprinting? And did you do that this before or did you kind of adapt it for your sprinting?
So the way I'm training was definitely something that I took on sort of like when I started sprinting, probably a few years after. I actually did the first few years of like sprint training without any gym. Yeah. And I'm definitely a completely different runner now that I do it. But the whole like point of my gym is to be a more like powerful, faster, stronger sprinter. So everything I do in the gym is for my running.
Yeah.
And also obviously probably similar to Annabelle for like injury prevention as well. Because obviously sprinting, you're putting, I think it's something time like 7 times your body weight goes into your hamstrings when you sprint. So a lot of our training is hamstring strength because it's such a common injury that you can that can happen when you're sprinting. So a lot of my movements are a little bit unusual and they're all sort of to replicate movement patterns that are in a sprint race. So there'll be lots of like knee drive, hip extension, getting my hips forward, like fast concentric. So like box squats to replicate coming out of the blocks. Mm-hmm. And something else that we use as well, which is a little bit different that I don't know if people have seen in my videos, but I've got this little like cord that's attached to my barbell and it's called a VBT, so velocity-based training. Okay. And it tracks the speed that I'm lifting my weights. Obviously when I'm lifting, I want to be lifting fast because I'm running fast and lifting slow is probably not going to do much for me other than maybe a bit of injury prevention. So my coach will prescribe me a speed that I have to achieve and I've got a little like iPad in front of me that shows me how fast I've lifted my reps.
That's awesome.
So at the moment, because I'm training for speed and like I'm in the peak of my season, I'm lifting at around 0.7 meters per second, which is considered quite fast. And then just say the traditional lifter might do around 0.3 to 0.5. So I'll get prescribed a speed to lift and then you can kind of prescribe your weights around that. So just say if I was lifting at 0.95, then you'd probably want to pull the weight up a bit, lift a little bit more because at the end of the day, I want to be able to lift as much load as I can, as fast as I can. So it's pretty complex, but it's fun as well. So
much, this is what I mean. Like people just see you sprint or they see you run. Like, oh, you know, whatever. It's like the amount that goes into it, whether it's recovery. Yeah. I'm going to ask you about your recovery.
Yeah.
The whole team's very interested. Yeah, you don't realize how much goes into it.
Yeah.
This is so random, but I saw a video on TikTok. Are you guys self-talk people? Like before you race, do you talk to yourself and like tell you, like be like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you've got this.
I do. I'm like.
Love it.
Yes. I do it in the gym a lot too. And it's not like, it's actually not positive self-talk. Oh. I'm actually putting myself down. No. I have to tell myself like if I don't get this power clean then this person's gonna beat me and like so funny.
But it works. Well, I guess because you're competitive though. That kind of works.
So competitive. So and then like probably on race day, I feel like nothing really goes through my mind. I'm just like, just get to the end. And I'm so nervous that like I just try and block everything out. But yeah, I do talk to myself a bit. Or my dad.
Between like the funniest like you training just
literally
saying
yelling
you
at
need
myself.
A mic like the things I actually say.
Yeah.
What about you, Annabelle?
I feel like mine's during because obviously it's a long time to be in your own head. Yeah, just like you're not hurting, you just keep going. It's all in your brain. You're just bored. Keep going.
Oh my God. I have found since running, I'm kind of just like, you're not stopping. Yeah. Don't stop. Yeah. Like you have to literally
And then you just get competitive with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. But also I feel like you're so disappointed if you stop.
Yeah.
You know, even though it sucks.
I'm jealous you guys have the time to think because mine runs so fast. It's like, you're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
I'm already done.
You're like, I'm finished.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're like going across the line if you've won or do you not?
Yeah. I feel like you do know, but like often for some reason, like your lanes are random what you get given. Yeah. And a lot this season I've been like either lane one or lane eight, which is the end. And when you're in those lanes, you have no idea because often it will be like someone way down the other end because you use your like peripheral vision. Yeah. So there's been a few races where I'm like, yeah, I think I got that. Yeah. And then I get given second and you're I'm like, what?
No.
I'm like, no. But yeah, you kind of do know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Annabelle, similar question to Liv. Running is the movement of the moment. How do you find that weightlifting kind of assists with running?
Yeah. So, yeah, like I kind of said before, especially with the marathon training and the Ks are going to get a lot per week and that's going to be a lot on my joints and ankles and hips and all of that. Yeah, it's really important that the strength training stays consistent, just like I said, to avoid shin splints or any knee issues because the last thing I want is a knee issue. Yeah. It's not fun. I've heard nightmare stories and – yeah, no. And yeah, so 15 weeks of training and then hopefully I'm good to go on the day. Just because I've heard as soon as you hit the 30Ks mark, apparently your body just shuts down.
Oh my
and
God.
That next 12Ks is just, yeah, it's a lot.
Sounds That's why, so enjoyable.
Yeah. You're like, well, why
I've
am
seen
I doing
those
this?
Videos of people running and they're like, have you seen their bodies? And they're trying to go over the line and they're like, really? I'm like, that would be me.
Yeah, that's also why in training you don't really run more than 32 Ks.
Okay.
Even though, yeah, you're training for 42, you just, yeah, leave that from the day because that's a lot of stress on the body.
And do you find, I guess, this question's more related to like when you started running, that you were fatigued? Because I'm finding I'm a little bit fatigued to then do my weighted sessions probably at the like intensity I used to do them.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Do you just have to back off your weighted a bit or how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I did back off the weight slightly. Mm. I guess it's just your body kind of adapting to that new style of training. And because I remember when I first, did that 10K run, I struggled to walk for a week.
Yeah.
Like I was in so much pain. Just even my hips and my ankles were so achy. And, yeah, I guess it's like anything, the more you do it, the stronger you'll get and the more your body will adapt to it.
What is something that you see runners do that you're like on or people that are starting to run or want to get into running and you're like, it's a big no? And then same with you, Liv, what's something you see people do either who – are doing sprinting like intervals, like HIIT, that you're like, oh no, like you would not do that?
I think for like if you're wanting to pick up speed, like not having rest times, it takes like we normally do 1 minute rest per 10 meters like sprinted. So if I do an 80 meter rep, it's 8 minutes rest. So you need like your ATP and everything to replenish if you want to like train at a high speed, and if you want to get faster you need to train at those high speeds consistently. So I'd say if speed is the goal then definitely you need a rest, and it can sessions take a while, but it's like still you're working so hard you don't need to have the volume, it's the intensity that's really high. So I'd say focus on high intensity, lower volume, and you'll get heaps out of your training.
And I think the reason people struggle with that who are obviously not professional athletes, and something that I've seen a lot in clients, is because they're not pushing 100%, maybe they're pushing like 70%, they're like, I don't need 5 minutes rest.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you get to that, from that 70 to that 100%? Yeah.
It is hard. And I think a lot of people don't know what their 100% is.
Yeah.
And they think that they're there. And I think, honestly, the one thing that helped me sort of achieve that and realize that, obviously you're going to be in a lot of pain, but just having like a coach or a friend to really push you and encourage you. Mm. And like there'll be periods in your training where you're like, I can't do it anymore. Like I'm done. But like, your body is capable of so much more than what your mind thinks capable of. So, yeah, I think you need to find that push, whether it be like self-talk or a coach or just maybe running for a longer period of time or having a stopwatch to motivate you to run faster. That's sort of what I like to use.
That's a good idea.
So yeah, it is tricky, but you've got to just slowly get there. Obviously you don't go all out if you've never trained before. But yeah.
Yeah, ease into it.
Mine would probably be, if you're a beginner runner, just going way too much too soon. Because that's when I've, speaking from experience, that's when shin splints gonna flare up. Oh. Say you go for a, okay, I did 3Ks and you're like, okay, I'll do 10. Okay, I'll just randomly or like increase your load way too much per week.
Okay.
You got to go ease into it. Just add a few Ks on per week.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to kind of your diet per week, I guess. You got to look at your training over the week rather than per day.
Yeah.
Say your first week you accumulate 10 Ks over the week. You're like, okay, next week I'll do 11 or 12 Ks over the week.
Yeah.
Rather than, yeah, your individual runs. Just, yeah, increase slowly.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Liv, talk us through your recovery process. So we all see it on Instagram, the big boots. How often do you do all of this and, like, what's your kind of go-to?
So I love my recovery boots. I've got a pair at home. I used to go to the recovery bar and do it. It's quite funny. I used to actually do it all the time when I had to go out and like pay for it and go somewhere. And then when I got my own pair, I like use them half as much, which is so funny.
Like the effort.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, I've got them now. I don't need to use them. I love using them when I have like consecutive race days or just if I have general like lower body DOMS. I feel like they flush out my legs really well. And if you ever use them before, it kind of feels like the blood pressure machine that use at the doctors, but it's on your legs and it sort of squeezes different parts of your legs at different times. And
is it nice?
Yeah, it's like it can feel a bit intense if you like, there's all different intensities you can use. The highest one is quite intense, but the lower ones kind of feel like a bit of a massage.
Yeah.
And then I do a little bit of sauna, but I think the thing that is like most important in my training is just sleep and nutrition, especially because we do experience so much central nervous system fatigue. The only thing that really fixes that is sleep.
Yeah.
And my like recovery through my sprinting is we have to have 48 hours recovery between our sessions because we're like nothing. Well, like you can do gym, but nothing that's going to tap into your central nervous system. So that'd be like more speed sessions, like Olympic lifting because it is so fast and heavy. So just like lighter things. I'm allowed to do like a slow like bike, slow walks. And then, leading up to racing, we'll like leading up to nationals, which is a big race, we'll do like a 10-day taper. So it's almost no training for 10 days leading up to it. So we're really fresh.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I've seen the wind down routine. How are you going with the mouth taping?
Good.
Do you sleep with your mouth open naturally?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But there were a few nights where I'd wake up and it wouldn't still be on. I think with the one that I use, because it does go over my whole mouth, it's either skincare or mouth tape. But if I have my moisturizer on, it slips off.
Yes.
But I've kind of like done it some nights, some not. I just don't like how I put it on feeling? And I can't speak.
I know.
Because I love once to it's talk on, it's till like, I go to sleep and I talk with my partner and I'm like, all right, good night.
Yeah.
No talking.
Toby always knows. I'm like,
You're like, all right.
And then you try to say things. I'm like,
ah. Yeah. And if you think about it too much, you start stressing about your mouth being shut.
I know. Yeah. The first night I did it, I didn't use proper, like a proper one. I just taped them. And in the middle of the night, I was like panicking, like ripped them off. I was so stressed.
But I do sleep so well when I use it. So yeah, I think it's definitely worth a try. I guess some people love it, some don't. But I feel really well rested when I use it, even if I don't get like that much sleep.
Yeah.
So I don't use it every night, but we're still working into the routine.
Annabelle, what about you and your recovery? Do you do anything specific?
I'm definitely getting a lot more disciplined now with training just because my coach is telling me to and prescribing me specific mobility sessions.
Yeah.
So he's given me 2 30-minute sessions per week just to release all the, well, you probably don't know, but ITB, just glute medius and hips and everything. Just because I know if I get a tight ITB, then it can pull on my knee and that's when my knee starts to niggle. Okay. So just to, make sure everything's nice and loose. And, sitting on a trigger ball as well, getting into the glutes is also good. I also do, the sauna per week and ice bath little bit less often just because it's not fun.
I know. Oh, we have like a plunge pool at our house and Toby does the cold one every single day.
Really? Every single
day. In the morning?
Yeah. every morning.
That one we did at the retreat was the first and the last one I ever did.
It's it was traumatic.
It's honestly, I try to do it like a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
It's not as cold as that one. It's still very cold. I think it's like three or eight degrees between there.
Oh, yeah. That's still cold.
It's still cold.
Yeah.
And you never get used to it. I know that sounds weird, but the one thing I must say about it is such a mood enhancer.
Yeah.
Like whether it does whatever it does to your body, when you get out, I feel like I'm like,
yeah,
such a good mood. Anyway, I saw my dad go use it this morning. He's staying with me, Alexia. I'm like, so cute. So in a recent ep, I was chatting to Emma about how I used to feel guilty about recovery because we actually had someone write in and they're like, I find it really, really difficult to like take time off training. And I remember when I was younger, and you do have a lot more energy and you're newer to everything, so you think more is always better. What's your take on how important recovery is? I know we just touched on it, Liv, but how did you change your mindset around that more is better and sometimes less is more?
Yeah, I think we've all been there with having recovery guilt, and I feel like I still sometimes do, especially with how many rest days like I'm having to take around racing. And I always have to remind myself, this is like a little bit random, but like humans weren't put on the earth to be training in the gym every day and to be running every day and doing HIIT. Our like natural state is to be at rest. So if we're constantly pushing our bodies through all this stress, it's only going to have negative consequences down the track. Another thing as well is often if I have, especially if I have like a random recovery day where I need to take one when I normally wouldn't that day, scheduling something in so it feels like you're actually going to training. So for example, the recovery bar and doing like sauna, boots, ice baths, or getting a massage, or just going for a slow walk or something rather than just like sitting on the couch at home. So it feels like you're doing something.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just like you want to feel productive.
Yeah.
But you don't want to like flog your body.
Yeah.
So it's like just doing something I like to call like active recovery where you can still do something, but it's just not like ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'll like schedule that in my calendar. So I've got all my color coded things, and I've got my training is pink and my recovery comes under training because it is just as important, if not more important than my training. So
So are you very organized?
Yeah. I love my Google calendar.
So you plan your entire week.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got my sunrise walk in there every day. And
have you ever missed a sunrise walk?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Why? Are you just still like, not today?
Yeah. There's a few times where I'm like, if I'm really flat at training and I know I need like a bit of extra sleep, I don't really do it on Sundays. It's like my sleep in day. But there was actually, it was quite funny. There was a gym session a few weeks ago and I'd train it around like 8 a.m. So I like would come probably do my walk, have brekkie and then go to the gym. And I missed this one sunrise and I had not going on my phone as well for the first hour, like for the reset challenge. Yeah. And I was like, I missed sunrise. And I was like, I swear to God, if it was a good sunrise and I see it on someone's story, I'm going to be so upset. And it was. It was amazing. It was like the best one I've ever seen. And I was so angry. And I went into the gym and I told my coach, I was like, I missed the best sunrise. And he's like, all right, well, let's use this and use this anger. And I ended up hitting a power clean PB because I was so angry.
He's like, you need to miss
the
sunrise.
He's like, you missed the sunrise. And I'm like, oh, okay. So
oh my God, I love that. You made up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Annabelle, with recovery? Like, how do you, you know, obviously with, you love weight training, but then also running and everything you have, how do you make sure that you're prioritizing it?
Yeah, I think I just got to a point where my body was just telling me, no, like, stop, you don't need to do this much this often. And when I stopped and just focused on having one really good session per day, I actually noticed way more progress in my list, because obviously when you train hard in the gym and you rest, that's when your muscles actually grow. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with running, it's a lot of legs. It's quite tiring. So yeah, letting your body rest and recover and being good to go the next day is, yeah, very important.
I love that. All right. Well, we're nearly at the end, but I want you to both tell me something you're most excited for this year. It could be personal or professional. And then can you give us a hint on something that Move With Us is doing that you're involved in this year?
I think I'm definitely very excited for the back end of my season. So my states, nationals, and then this is my first time ever competing at world championships.
Where is it?
Gold Coast. That's why I'm doing it.
I think we'll all need to come watch you.
So it's so, oh my God, I'm so excited.
We should organize for the team to come.
When is it?
It's not till September. So
oh, okay, that's all right.
I've got like States mid-March, Nationals mid-April, and then I've got like 4 months until Worlds, which is super exciting. Normally it's over in like Italy or like South Africa.
I mean, that wouldn't have been too bad.
Pretty cool, yeah. But because it's like at home, and it's at my home beach where I train, so it's honestly not even going to feel like Worlds. It'll just feel like a training day. So that's, I'm really so excited fun. About that. But it will be definitely a long year. Like I started training in April and I've got to keep pushing until September, which I'd normally have like a bit of a break around then. So I'm very excited for that. I'm also very excited for the retreat. Looking back at last year, I actually think that was like my favorite part of the year. And I'm excited to just like be more present as well. And I feel like we were so like busy, and I was like, once I left, I was like, oh my God, that was so fun. Like I wish I like could just do it again, you know?
Well, we're actually planning this time to have like coaches go early to get done all of the move with the stuff that we need to do, so that when we're, because I feel like we were getting torn between, it was like, you need to be here and there and do this and that. And we didn't get to really like be in the moment. So I feel like this year we're doing coaches' obligations or like filming or whatever we have to do prior to then be able to be more present, which I think will be really nice.
So and so like obviously made so many friends at the Bali retreat, and there's a few of the US girls coming over, and we're going to have a little reunion.
Stop it. Who?
Ripley and
Gail?
Yes.
Yes, they're coming over.
And then
so
Alana's
sweet.
Flying up from Melbourne. And
how cool is that?
So sweet.
We had such a good group.
I know.
It was such a
good
group.
Can they just come again?
Yeah,
can
we have the same group?
Yeah. It was so good. So I'm so excited to meet people again.
Yes. Annabelle.
Bali retreat as well, definitely. And I'm competing in High Rocks in August. I feel like, do you guys know what High Rocks is?
No, I don't.
It's, I feel like it's really big in the UK at the moment. It's kind of CrossFit, but not really, in the sense that it's a specific workout where you can do it in singles or doubles. And I'm doing it with Cass O'Holm.
Yeah.
So it's just intimidating because she's a weapon.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, that's going to be really cool to do that with her. A lot of running.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, essentially 8 1K runs. In between the runs, there's a station to do. Yeah.
Sounds fun.
I'll be watching you, ladies, from the sideline.
And yeah, obviously the marathon as well. And apparently I might be doing another marathon in September as well. Maybe Sydney. Maybe. We'll see.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so fun. It's so nice that you guys have like such big goals to like work towards. I know like for people it's nice to have, and this is why I think challenges can be great. It's like just to have that end goal that you're kind of working towards sometimes, and it's just like, do the journey forever. That can feel a little like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know? So I think having those milestones is so motivating and keeps like that spark, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's why running is going off at the moment as well, because there's events that you build up towards.
I agree.
And then once you've done it, you're like, oh, okay.
On to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You just have that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Can you give us any sneak peeks that Move With Us have coming up?
We may or may not be holding another run club.
We are. Liv, get your bike ready.
Yeah.
No, this time we want to do, you need to have a big boom box on the back of the bike.
Yes.
Because I'm like, we need music.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the only thing that was lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, we need a couple of bikes going around with boom boxes.
That's
so
funny.
I love that. That's going to be fun. And it's, where is it going to be? Can we tell them? I think we can.
I think we can. Yeah. It's Brisbane.
Annabelle's hometown.
So staying in Queensland.
Liv, is there anything?
I'm currently brainstorming something to bring out, I guess, a second part of from last year. I won't say too much because obviously nothing's locked in yet, but sort of just want to see what everyone's thoughts were around Reset, and it seems like everyone really enjoyed it.
I was going to say, how have we not addressed that?
Yeah.
Like what the actual I don't swear on the podcast much, but like that's literally how I feel. I love like strength training Liv. I'm loving
really?
It. Yeah. Because I've obviously only ever done your power side of things. So I'd never really seen how a strength workout would be like kind of structured for you.
Yeah.
But I'm currently doing, it's the third week because I can't get to 5 sets of the hip thrust, where it's like B-stand. 1 1/4.
I saw that. That's
variations.
Insane.
Emma and I like.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. I made Toby do it. I was like, because he was like laughing. I was like, this is this is so hard. It was like cardio, strength, everything in one. And he's like, whatever, I'll come over. He's like, what's 1 1/4? I'm like, he's like, I just do a hip thrust anyway. By the end, the next day, he's like, Michael, it needed one set.
I used to make, when I like PT'd, I used to get my clients to do it. And one of them literally passed out. I was like, oh, this must be challenging.
So Liv's like, oh, let's pop that in there.
But no, that style of like strength training is sort of what my winter training looks like when I'm away from racing and just trying to like build a really strong base. So I'm glad people like
it. Yeah, I think the girls are loving it.
Yeah.
From what I'm seeing, like the feedback in the forum and stuff, it would be great to get like some proper feedback. But I personally, I've been doing those sessions as my weighted.
Oh, I love
and
that.
I'm loving them. Yeah, amazing. I'm loving the reset challenge. It's really, really, I wish it should be permanent. I feel like
I know.
Yeah. I think people would, it's just a different style of challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's enough sneak peek. Thank you so much for coming on again, girls. I personally just love listening and hearing from you. I feel like I learned so much, and that's why I ask so many questions that are actually personal for personal gain. But yeah, thank you for coming on. And I don't know, we'll definitely have you on again. So
thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you loved today's episode.
Make sure you follow our socials, chatwithus.podcast on Instagram and TikTok to stay up to date with all of our show info.
Chat soon.